Should you need assistance during the conference
call,
press pound, then zero.
Hello?
Hello, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
Yeah, BPA is on the ball.
Has Matt joined yet?
Nope. Just three of us so far.
Oh, very nice.
Play structure done?
It is almost done. You're kind of pushy about those pictures.
You were the one who said you'd get right on it.
I was doing really good on Saturday, and then I figured out that I attached the monkey bars backwards, and it required a lot of unscrewing, and I got a little frustrated, so I stopped. And then Sunday, I was so sore from holding that drill up above my head the whole time that I didn't do anything yesterday. But I'll get it done definitely this weekend. There's only the monkey bars and the swings to attach.
Mm-hmm. Amazing what they get that little box, huh?
I know. It's incredible. I don't like the directions, so I think they were put together backwards.
Or by a guy.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it.
I think Bubble was up.
Someone just join us?
Unfortunately.
You mean you have the pleasure of talking to us this afternoon.
Your unadulterated excitement of another conference call today.
At least it's not the AFM.
I'm going to see if I can do four, possibly five conferences.
Well, you could work for us then, Tom. We can get eight in a day, maybe 10 on a really great day.
Yes, but see, yours is internal. I can deal with other agencies on mine.
No, most of them are external, unfortunately. I see Kyle sent out the bring your cooler message.
Who else joined?
This is Ben Hausman from Bonneville.
This is Ann Creason from BPA.
Did someone else join us?
Hello, Matt. Is anybody there?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I haven't heard Frederick's call in yet.
He knows about it. I talked to him. I talked to Dave Wills. He is also, he will not be able to make it, but he said he would catch up as need be.
Okay. And Kruger sounded like he was going to call in.
I left him a message.
All right, we'll just wait a couple more minutes. Did anyone talk to Shane?
Yeah, he'll be on.
Okay.
I did not.
Well, okay, we don't have to take up everyone's afternoon. Matt, do you want to tell us what you saw?
Yeah, who's on the line?
Oh, you want to know who you're talking to.
That'd be a good idea.
All right, you guys can say who's on the line.
Scott Bedman from BPA.
Eric from BPA.
Dan Creason from BPA.
Ben Hausman from Bonneville Lock and Dam.
Tom Lors is on the phone.
I was getting there, gee.
Where's Gary?
He's supposed to be on.
Hello, this is Shane Scott.
Hello, Shane.
Hello. Hi,
hello.
Shane. Well, let's see. It'd be nice if Gary was there. I'm sure he's going to want to weigh in on this. Fish and Wildlife Service, you guys will pass the info on.
Dave isn't able to call in, but certainly Tom or I can call Gary and let him know.
I'll be talking with Dave Wills at 3 on another conference call, so I can inform him at that time, as with whoever else doesn't make it from this one.
Yeah, this is Shane. I had trouble calling on the line. I called and had to go through the operator.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know if that's delaying people getting on.
I just got on. It's Gary. No problem at all. It's just dial numbers.
Okay. So, as you guys know, after last Thursday's gathering because of the juvenile fish issue, we had a little brief discussion after things were looked at, and we decided to go ahead and, since we had the Ditson in place, we had lots of adults coming through to do a little test on Friday. So what we did, you guys, was we went back to Bonneville on Friday. We filmed the UMT where the array is. We did a couple of two-hour time blocks when the array was off, and we did a couple of two-hour time blocks when the array was on at the lowest levels that were shown to deter sea lions, so it was about 0.6 volts per centimeter voltage gradient. It's the lowest level in the study plan that we are planning on testing, okay? Now, we've been going through the video data today. We're not finished yet. So far, we've went through one two-hour block of control period with the array off, and we went through about an hour of video when the array was on. Now, I have some information here that we can talk about in a minute, some more detailed information about behavior, but let me just cut to the chase. When the array was off and fish were moving through, the best right now guess that we have for how many fish were going through was about 80%. And we're not 100% sure what that means, because we know that some fish came up to the structure and then they just kind of generally fall back downstream. We're not sure if we see the same fish again, and so on and so forth. So, but a crude estimate might be, you know, 80%. It's probably more than that. That just swim on through when the power's off. Now, when we had the power on, just the opposite occurred. Only about, again, this is a crude estimate, but only about 4% of the fish actually we think might have went through it. About 96% of the fish turn around and bolt downstream. And they don't screw around, they don't pass go, they don't collect $200, they just go. And it's pretty clear cut. The video is pretty unequivocal, and but there are some behavioral nuances here and there about what fish generally were doing. But that, I think, is one of the most important findings that you guys need to know about.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not what I was expecting, but it is what it is, and it's there.
Yeah, we kind of wondered when we saw the juveniles react the way they did.
So this is Rick. I just joined. Sorry to be late. So the fish are reacting.
They are reacting.
Yeah, they are reacting, and we are going to continue tomorrow, the rest of the day today and tomorrow, just going through the whole 8 hours of tape. What we're going to do, you guys, is we have no plans right now on going back in the next couple of days. We're going to put some numbers together the best we can from the videos, and then we're also going to splice out some representative snippets of video that sometime in the future we can share with you guys, but we'll probably have to get together as a group briefly because they're kind of big, so it's not just, you can't just really send them very easily via email, but it might be worthwhile if you guys want to see the stuff we're talking about. For control fish, you generally see animals come up to the beginning of the structure. That's very common. They seem to be checking it out. It seems to be something new to them that they hadn't experienced prior to that in the UMT, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. A lot of fish are just generally kind of moving back and forth in the UMT. It's kind of like you see fish at the fish viewing window, except we can see them from over the top. And they'll enter the structure. They disappear when they get in the structure about a meter and a half or so. Sometimes the fish will come back down tail first, and then they'll swim back up. We also see fish come up to the structure, and they just will hang out for a few seconds or whatever, and they'll just go ahead and drift back downstream out of camera's view. It's really hard for us to tell when a fish disappears up or downstream. It's kind of hard to tell whether it's the same animal. Sometimes we think we can, sometimes you can't. So that's kind of what goes on with control fish. You know, it really, to Chris and this, what I've seen in the video and talked to Chris about, it kind of looks like what you would see in the fish viewing window. Just kind of fish gentle swimming. You could see their tail going back and forth. No big deal. When you turn the array on, you still see, you know, fish hesitating at the entrance. They're kind of checking things out. But you get fish just kind of dropping back. A reasonable percentage of fish drop back, then they might reappear again. Kind of similar to what you see in control, maybe a higher percentage. When you do get fish that go into that array, and again, they disappear, just a second or two later, you see these bullets just going downstream. Boom, 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 boom. And I, like I said before, is about of the fish that Chris viewed in just 1 hour of Ditson footage, to the best of his ability, about 96% of those animals bolted downstream.
That's not some mild reaction then, is it?
It's not mild at all. No. We don't know whether they came back. We don't know how far they're going. We don't know what they're doing after they leave our field of view. So, but I think from a, you know, from a sort of a macro viewpoint, the end game sort of reaction, you're seeing it, and that's at the lowest electrical level that was planned to be tested. So pretty strong response. So what we're going to do is we're going to put that stuff together. I suppose it'll be a reasonably short report. We'll have some video footage available for people to look at, both control fish and treatment fish, if you want to call them that. Really, I guess the ball is in the fish manager's court about where they want to go from here. The only thing that I might suggest is whether there would be any interest in running some tests at lower levels.
That's what I was wondering too, Matt. If I don't know at what point the system, I don't know if you can cut it down to like 0.3 or if you're getting within the range of error within the system itself that isn't different from 0.6. I don't know how discrete these are, but
I know we can go down to 0.3. I don't know if we could go lower than that. I mean, the thinking was is that I'm not, it's not really my job, I guess, to recommend whether this device will work in the river for pinnipeds.
Right. Now, that's not
the data that we're seeing now is that's probably the nail is going into the coffin.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, there has been a lot of time and a lot of expense putting this device into the UMT. It does provide an opportunity to look at the device in terms of where in terms of a fish barrier kind of device, if there were ever a different application for it, before you pull it out of there, you might want to know if there's some kind of threshold for these fish beyond which they will not pass, but if it's at this level or lower, they readily go through.
All right.
But that again, I pose that question to you guys, something to think about whether you want to go there. I think it could just be, you know, a couple of more days of filming where we could notch that thing down and see what happens. And then
I think that'd be a good idea, actually.
This is Shane. I talked with the Smith Root folks about this morning, and they could take it down to 0.1, or you could do it in increments.
Yeah.
This is Tom Lord. I'm going to take the other way. If we're already seeing 80%, even when it's just there, 80% of them backing up, not sure about it, and then we see 20% when you have any electricity, I had a hard enough time selling it to my guys, and this is during the peak of the adult run.
Right.
I mean, my shop's just going to go apeshit as soon as if I tell them any of this, they're just going to go apeshit bonkers.
Well, I mean, we're talking about a couple hour delay, Tom, not all day.
Yeah, but Gary, you got to remember, you gave my researchers grief for the AFF a couple hours, so I'm in a...
I know, and I'm giving them 2 hours a day every day of the damn year. Actually, more than that, probably half a day of delay for every year, every day of the year.
I know, I'm just saying...
About here is one more test, and the reason I would support it is that I want to make sure that if the coffin nail goes in, it doesn't come back out. And if somebody out there says, well, like a senator or a congressman says, well, you only had one day of testing. How can you possibly say this is a problem? I guess I would like to see that one additional lower level test, and if it shows the same thing, then that is a coffin nail.
Well, but even if it doesn't, I mean, we're already at 0.6, which is the threshold they said where pinnipeds and you got to remember, the pinnipeds, this was in a laboratory setting, which is going to be probably a little bit different than what we see in the wild. That was what they needed to have was 0.6.
Right.
If we start going below that, we're going to start getting even less effectual on pinnipeds.
I know. I understand. That's why I think
my guys are going to go nuts on this.
Let me.
A lot of them go nuts on you. That's
exactly my point. And I get nuts on enough already. So.
Oh, come on.
I got enough lumps in my head already.
I mean, the idea was not really so much to get a little more information from the pinniped standpoint. I think what Tom is saying is probably correct, that going lower is really not relevant for pinnipeds. I was more thinking that the concept of this low-level electricity and stuff like that might prove useful in a different application. For example, in turbine, you know, situations where they're turning turbines off and they get fish going into turbine outtakes and stuff like that. It might be a method that fish managers could use in the future to actually keep fish out. You know, so I'm thinking about it in a different way. We can either pull that thing out and be done with it, and it looks like that's going to happen shortly.
Yeah.
Or take the opportunity to try to figure out a threshold. At least you've got it. But again, that's not my question. That's for you guys to debate. So all I'm saying is that it's in there. It looks like the device can be lowered significantly if fish are still turning around, they still won't go in there, then, you know, you got nothing. It's not going to be a useful concept for keeping fish out of areas that you might not want them in.
Well, that could be valuable, especially for sturgeon at Bonneville.
Well, the only downside is we're not testing sturgeon.
Yeah, I understand
testing that. Salmon, and it's not really salmon that has the problem of getting the turbine.
Right.
So unless we're going to artificially throw some sturgeon in there.
Well, you jumped on me. Hey, Tom, you jumped on me. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what the turbine issues or whether there are any other fish issues where fish are going places you might not want them. Of course, there's lots of electric fish barriers out there. This device, I think, is a little bit different ball game. You're right. We don't have any sturgeon in there that I'm aware of.
Well, let's fit this kind of thing across the intakes of all the turbines and just keep all the fish out.
Yeah,
that's,
well...
That's not the purpose of this test, to test things for Smith
that.
Root. I mean, the point here was to test for salmon behavior in... You know, in light of sea lion barrier, and my only concern is that I want to make sure. In most cases, you test more than once on something. I know this is a pretty stark result, but still, it's not a costly second test in terms of fish delay or study dollars or anything. So, one more test of short duration, I think, is prudent.
So would you start at the low end and work up?
I wouldn't go any higher than 0.6.
No, at the low end,
0.6 or 0.3.
0.1 and work your way up?
It doesn't matter. I just want to see one more test I'd like to see a fish rejected at one more level, whether it's, again, a 0.6 to repeat.
Oh.
I mean, it's just good science to repeat a result, and if you see a repeat, then you're done.
Remember, you have two separate two-hour blocks in that day, so they were separated by...
With it on?
With it on, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a two-hour block.
No, we did it,
it
twice. So there were two full blocks, and there's two treatment blocks. And again, we've only covered 1 hour of the treatment. First treatment block.
Out of 4 hours of treatment time.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they were separated by a span of time where the array was off for a couple of hours. So whatever fish
were there should have moved out and you'd have a different test animals.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, then I don't really care one way or the other at this point then. You can test at a low level to see if it's a barrier at those levels, but I wouldn't get into a, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 type of test. I would just pick one and do it and yank the thing out of there and that's somewhere else, because that's, if this isn't going to work for sea lion control, then it shouldn't be in the UMT at Bonneville Dam. If folks want to test it for other purposes somewhere else later, that's fine. But we have, I mean, Tom's right. We've got, looking at the numbers, I would anticipate that we will see our peak spring Chinook passage in the next 2 weeks. In the last 3 years, it's been around May 1, within a week, either side. So we're there, and there should be a lot of fish moving through, or the attack counts are way off. Which I think they are, but...
The tack predictions?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tack prediction, I think, is... I think we're going to be lucky to see 250, but I don't know what they're... Maybe they revised it downward. I don't know what it is now, but...
330
it
is their current guesstimation.
What is it, Tom?
330 plus the 20, so 300 at Bonneville.
Yeah, I think we might see 250, looking at how fun has progressed in the past years, but we'll see. Hope I'm wrong.
So do we.
Yeah.
But I'm, if, Matt, I guess the thing is, if you feel like you've got a good test in there, then, and that, what I don't want is to have somebody come back and say, well, I don't think you guys tested this well enough. We want you to put it in another year and try it again. I don't want to be there.
You guys,
off and nail
all,
it.
I mean,
if this is where it's going, then I want to make sure that we actually nail it.
If you recall, we actually set up a 5% criterion level.
I know.
Remember that?
I remember that, and that's we exceeded that. I want to make sure that we've truly, you know, that there's a replicate issue here too, and I just want to make sure that we've repeated this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should do it another day at point.
You know, I wanted to get you guys on the phone, report this to you, so as far as I'm concerned, you guys, it's your call.
Yeah.
We can either do this for another block, just to see if two or three days have gone by. We've probably cleared out all those fish. I will tell you guys that when we were there on Thursday, when we were having the meeting, we were filming at that time also. Remember when we were checking the response of the juveniles?
Yeah,
we had a few fish go through while the array was on, and they showed the same behavior.
Yeah.
They turned around and split.
Well, I have two different issues here. One, I'm from what you told me, I'm pretty, I'm convinced, but I just want to make sure that when we get questions from fairly high-level folks down the road, that we're able to turn around to say, yeah, we're convinced. This is scientifically proven fact.
So, Matt, would you see it if we used half-hour or one-hour blocks? Would you see the response?
Yeah, I don't think we, knowing what we know now, we probably don't need to do it for 2 hours.
Right.
There's lots of fish going through. We see them. They're coming through pretty steady. We can get a handle on that. So we could probably just do it for half an hour.
When can you do that, Matt?
We can do it tomorrow.
The counts are going to go, they better go up dramatically, so sooner the better if you're going to do it.
You know, I mean, we could do it whenever, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's all set up and ready to go. It's just sitting there, so it's just a matter of go down there, get the camera fired up, get the recording going, film things for a half an hour, and then turn it on and film things, so...
Could we do 1/10 increments all the way down to
point? Well, what I might suggest is, do 0.6 again for a half an hour to confirm,
right.
Then maybe cut it in half.
Yeah, and see what you get.
And maybe wait a while. Maybe do 0.6 for a little while, then maybe wait a couple hours. Do it again, but with 0.3, and then within the course of a day, one more half-hour increment, maybe at 0.1.
0.1, yeah.
And then,
well, the other thing that would be interesting to know is if it's at 0.5. I mean, is there a sharp drop-off, or is it really, do you have to half it?
But you'll see that at 0.3. If it doesn't, if there's still a reaction at 0.3, then...
Oh, right, then you know it's not even close.
I like that. That's just, I like what Matt has, because that's kind of a range-find short. And you got, you're 1.5 hours worth of testing, of delay as a result of that.
Well, it seems like what you should do is if you're really going to use that as range finding, do it at 0.3. If there's no reaction, do it at 0.4. And if there's, you have to
right.
Inside the range that you're...
Yeah, if you go back, if you don't see a reaction at 0.3, then I guess you would probably pick it up. But
yes, we can do that. That's probably a better approach. If we can... what we saw at 0.6 was so stark that...
You're looking for a 5% rejection.
Yeah, I mean, we're...
Above your baseline.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see... we should be able to tell if we cut it down to 0.3 and we see a lot more passage going through there. The contrast between that and 0.6 should be apparent if it exists.
Yeah.
But if we see the same reaction at 0.3, then there's really no sense in doing 4 or 5.
Yeah, if it backs off to like
downward,
or like that, it's still pretty dramatic.
If you get a reaction like that at 0.3, you'd go downward.
Exactly.
Yeah, so once again, it's Tom Lars. I'm struggling. I mean, this will be great information to have, and when I play Trivial Pursuits and someone asks me what 0.3 does for salmon, I can answer it. I'm really struggling with my management applications of this. I mean, if this is towards the tail of the run or something like that, I'd be a little more giddy. I would suggest if you're going to do 0.3, do it in the next, like, I'd say next 12 hours, because it would take me that long to write a letter of stoppage. I could maybe hack for about a 0.3 quick test, but that's about as far as I can go. And even that, I'm going to get yelled at. I've already gotten yelled at enough. When someone tells me, when I tell them they're already having an 80% reduction just by having the structure in it, oh, by the way, when we turned it on at the lowest setting, which we thought there'd be no problem at all, you got down to 20% passage. Yeah, people are going to go nuts.
Tom, is it 80% or is it 20%?
It's a 20%.
Well, you have 80% that's going through with just the structure there. So that means you have 20%. And if there wasn't a structure there, I somehow doubt they're going to stop right at that one spot.
Was that a rejection with the structure in, Matt, or was that just a hesitation?
We can't tell.
Yeah, you don't know who's who as they go back up. So
I'm just taking the risk-averse options.
Yeah, that's right. The worst case.
We're obviously having some level of impact with just the structure in.
Yeah.
Right. Tom, I just heard you saying 80%.
A lot. You do
80%
patch. You do see fish go up to that thing. They kind of mill around a little bit. For lack of a better term, it looks like they're checking things out. There's probably some changes in the hydraulics there.
Yeah.
They sense. And then just fish just, they don't turn around and swim downstream. They just kind of drift back out of camera's view. We see fish come right up in the next instant, and they'll swim right through it. So we don't know if they're the same animal, though. That's why it's hard. It's hard to get percentages on it because our field of view is so limited.
Hey, Matt, do you also see him react to the light? The light and dark aspects of it? That was something else we sort of didn't consider.
Who's on the phone? Who all is on this call?
Kruger.
Jane.
Lors.
Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Your conference is already in progress. You are joining your conference as the host. Should you need assistance during the conference, press pound, then zero.
Just want to slam it shut.
I know, if it wasn't during the peak of the run, I'd probably have a little more leeway. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to do a 0.3, do it quick, but I don't think
I want to leave that thing in there through the run. And I'm thinking if they can get a study done, finish this off tomorrow.
Well, the thing is, if that's if you find 0.3. Say 0.3 doesn't have effect. Then we're going to get a call back saying, well, should we do 0.4 and 0.5 to find...
They can do all those in one day.
Yeah.
So I would just do it.
I said it's going to take me at least about 24 to 36 hours to get a letter out. So I would say that is your window of opportunity. And that is just because I'm a very slow typer.
Okay, Tom, you might want to hang up now.
Yeah, I know. I would say that's about as wink and nudge as I can give you.
Okay.
Gaia.
So moving on to the next step, removing the structure. How do you want it out now? Well,
that letter takes me 36 hours. Ideally, shortly thereafter, that structure would be removed.
Right, so we have to shut the flows off to do that a little bit.
They can do that.
Yeah, and drop the gate.
Do that at, like,
drop the head gate in.
Yeah. It would be an evening operation.
Yep.
I think we estimated 4 hours. So that's what we talked about, cutting holes in this thing, and I think we could unbuckle those turnbuckles and pull it out in that same time period. So it was built to come out quickly.
Okay.
And I do have the Smith Root folks calling their crane operator, and I was hoping I'd have an email by now on when they earliest get that schedule. Their crane operator is pretty flexible, so you give me a date, and hell, I'll drive it out there.
Well, I guess from my perspective, I'd like to see one more test, Matt.
We'll be done with it tomorrow.
Yeah, one more repeat of the 0.6, I know it sounds a little redundant, but I'd like to see that. And then if you want to cut it back to 0.3 and one more after that, then let's do that, and let's get that thing out of there.
Now, Gary, we were planning on getting the wedges driven in tomorrow. Should we wait and just pull it out when we pull up the structure?
Yeah,
don't put in the wedges, don't bother, just get the test.
Yeah,
and then even pull it out tomorrow night.
We'll free the trapped critters.
Yeah. Well, we got to be there with buckets in case some come up with it or something.
Yeah.
Okay. That's we'll work with the project to get that to not happen.
Yeah, if you pull it out of there, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yep. And Ben, can you give us some times when it's possible to do it? Is it early morning or late afternoon? Or
I don't know. Do folks have guidance on when they want it interrupted?
I'd wait until evening, late evening hours. I don't know, 11 p.m.
Well, the project let us do it at night. That's the question.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be 11 p.m., but it should be late. Once you're getting late in the day, I mean, that'd be a significant.
Well, it stays light till what, about 8?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it takes about 3 hours to get out?
So, you can work during the daylight hours, but start at
5?
5.
So, Ben, can you see if that's possible?
Yeah. What? Are we talking the end of this week?
Thursday or Friday? Does the crew need to be there? The project crew? Do we need their support to open and get the
engine? Yeah, you're going to need their support because we have to put in that bulkhead and pull it when they're done, and we're going to have to most likely, I don't know how those guys' turnbuckles come undone, but if they have to work over the water.
They have to actually get in there and,
in the channel?
Yeah.
Well, then we'll have to drop Cascade Island to Orifice Flow.
Right.
Thursday?
They don't need to be in the channel. I thought they could do everything from above the water.
They
right?
said they had a stand in there, but...
Oh, they do?
Ain't in a basket. Great.
Well,
sounds like if there is...
basket out.
Say again, Jane?
Well, that's you're working over the water, in the water. Tammy, is there a...
Is there a difference?
Is there a difference there?
Well...
All right.
No, that's fine.
Okay. I mean,
there's going to be a lot of water in the channel... Unless you put in the south bulkhead and start pumping it out, or you significantly drop the Cascades Island water level. So if you have to stand in the channel, that could be problematic.
Yeah.
Well, when we were out there, the discussion was the water level would be knee-deep if you put that bulkhead in?
Not if you put in just one bulkhead.
That's if you take Cascade Island to Orifice Flow as well as put the bulkhead in.
It would be knee-deep, the water.
And that's low orifice flow. That's not just dropping the UMT flow.
This could be, if the water isn't running hard and it's chest deep, get in there with waders, and it's just a matter of maybe using a screwdriver, loosen them, and then it's hand unloose those turnbuckles.
They got to move it upstream to get underneath the Ditson bracket.
Might be easier to cut them.
Matt,
yeah,
you'll be done tomorrow, right?
Yep.
So this could be taken out Wednesday or Thursday.
We can probably be done by, we could probably be done by noon.
Yeah, be careful the number of fish. Oh, your fish passage usually picks up, about at that point in the ladder. It's going to take a little while for fish to get up through there.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you have.
We'll take a look at. Kind of the afternoon is a good time, or mid-morning to mid-afternoon, but
right.
We were there on Friday at 6.
That's when you have 6 a.m. or p.m.?
6 a.m.
A.m., yeah.
Yeah, the key's going to be when the project staff can get around.
What I'm getting to, I mean, the project staff will be there Wednesday and Thursday until, 4:30 or so?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. We got to have the riggers here for the whole duration, even though, because they got to set everything back up when we're done. We have to have a biologist here.
Okay, so better off to do it in the afternoon then, I guess, rather than evening.
Hey, Ben, would it be possible to use that same crane to pull out the frames from the UMT? As opposed to bringing another one on site?
Our biggest problem there is probably going to be support dollars, which we've run out of.
We just need to augment that account, right?
I guess, if that's doable.
Because if the crane's available, we can do that.
It might be less expensive and quicker to use just one crane for the whole effort. And it might be faster. Talking with the Smith Roof folks this morning, they're talking getting a crane early next week. And that's not what I'm hearing on the phone call.
I can we,
week.
Talk to the project folks.
Yeah. Why don't you do that and get back to us?
Okay.
And we'll get it worked out.
I think that the structure itself is probably more of a curiosity than it is a real hindrance to the fish. My guess is that probably most of those fish are going through there when there's no electricity. I don't really have any basis for that data-wise, but it just seems from what we've seen in the control videos that a lot of fish are going through there. Fish are falling back. After that point in time, it's hard to tell. But
that's kind of, you don't really know what it was like when the frame wasn't in there either. So
we have no idea.
Yeah, I agree that the presence of the frame really shouldn't be a hindrance.
Well, it was hydrodynamically designed, so to speak, with its ramps and all that. But
right.
I have, you know, there's probably some hydraulic conditions in there that are curiosity.
A little bit, yeah.
And fish like to check that stuff out and wonder what the hell's going on.
Yeah, that's the first, that first dam these fish have experienced. So.
Yeah, the only reason I'm, this Tom Waters, the only reason I'm kind of sitting is because we have those juveniles. I'd like to get them.
Yeah, get them out of there.
Out of there sometime, sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
We're ready to put the wedges in. We could go tomorrow afternoon or Wednesday morning.
But yeah, I guess,
wouldn't bother with that.
I'm just saying, if we're going to remove it here shortly, I wouldn't spend the time. I'd put that effort and money to getting the thing removed.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Seems like we ought to be able to get it out of there and at least by Thursday. And the problem is the crane, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So you'd have to get Project Crane, which requires some dollars.
How large a crane did you use, Shane?
I was not there for the install. I should have been, and we may have not had this fish problem.
Ben, do you know what it was?
I think it was a flatbed with a lift. I mean, pretty straightforward. These things aren't that heavy.
Well, we have two that we could choose from. I think both would be fine. It doesn't seem like it's that heavy.
Yeah.
Right. If you can't get one, I could look and see if we have one of ours. They're usually pretty busy this time of year, but...
Oh.
Let me check here first and see what their plan is this week.
I'll get to Smith Root and tell them to get something, get on it.
Yeah, I suppose there's whatever's going on in the project. You guys have maintenance things going on all the time.
Yeah, well, they got that boom that they have to fix. That popped up this week.
Right, that's supposed to happen tomorrow. Corner collector's closed right now. But
what happened?
The boat boom broke, and so they closed the corner collector, waiting to get the boat boom fixed.
Which is
their boat barrier.
Yeah. So that added to their schedule of things they were doing this week already.
So that the corner collector is closed?
It is, as of about 1:30.
Okay.
We'll see if we can get it back open tomorrow.
Yeah, so they're going to fix it tomorrow? Fix the boom tomorrow?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to change something. This is the BGS barrier?
No, it's the boat buster boom.
It's the boat barrier that keeps fish, or keeps boats and fish, maybe, out of the corner collector. So, Ben, are you going to go check with the project, see what's available?
Yep.
So we've got that. That's a to-do before we know anything about... I guess from the manager's perspective, folks want to see it out of there as soon as possible after the tests are done. So
Wednesday if we can do it?
Wednesday if you can do it.
Okay.
If it's... Well, you'll just have to get back to folks and see if we see what happens.
Yeah, I'll go talk to them now and email all these, everybody involved.
I think the issue is that if the money can't be transferred, you don't have project funds and people aren't available and the crane's somewhere else and it needs to happen next week, then there has to be a decision on wedging this thing and getting those trap fish out.
Okay.
And, hey, Ben, if you need to talk to Ann, this Ann, just give me a call.
Okay. Sounds good.
Ann, I need to talk to you.
Okay.
So that's where we're at then, looks like.
Okay. Well,
Project's court right now.
Sure, it was good or bad news, but I think that the data is, that was our job, was to get the information out and, you know, whichever way it fell, that's what was going to happen. So I think the video data is unequivocal, so.
Yes. Yeah, look forward to that. Having a look at that, Matt.
Excuse me?
I'm looking forward to having a look at that video.
Yeah, we'll put together some kind of a PowerPoint and show you guys sometime in the next month or so. Get together with next FPOM meeting. I'll come down there and show you guys what went on. So.
Yeah, good.
The next FPOM is May 13th out at the Dalles.
May 3rd?
13th.
Oh, 13th.
Does the Westrick even have a PowerPoint?
Yeah, because we've done the FPP stuff there before. They may not have a phone, but I guess they have a PowerPoint.
They have a projector.
Yeah, we can bring one. Okay.
Have a wall.
Nothing else. Tammy, will you send out an email with what we covered today, and then we'll give an update once we know more?
Yes.
That same mailing list?
I will.
Okay. So it sounds like we have our plan.
Okay, for our summary.
You want a summary?
Yeah, let's summarize. I can go over it real quick. What's on the table then to do is to do one more day of testing tomorrow, 0.6, and then 0.3, and then whatever. About an hour and a half's worth of actual on-time testing. And I guess, Matt, if you see something totally startling that doesn't fit what we're thinking is going to happen, let us know.
Okay.
Call us.
Okay.
If something is really unusual, but if not, if you see what we expect to see, then the project will look into getting the frame out as early as Wednesday or Thursday. If they can't mobilize, don't get money, whatever, the crew's not available, then Smith Root cannot get in there until next week, and we will have to make a decision on wedging. I guess I would say wedge it.
Yep.
If it's going to be next week, let's just do that. So either the thing comes out Wednesday or Thursday, or it gets wedged Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay. On that, Gary, can I ask a real quick question?
Yeah.
On the wedging, I know you folks recommended morning 8 to 11 for any activity.
Yeah.
The discussions with the folks that went through today, they're ready. They could be ready and go tomorrow afternoon or Wednesday morning. You know, if things get delayed, I'd like to give them a heads up on when to get out there. So, Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning?
Wednesday morning. Let's let the fish move by after the testing's done.
Okay. That's what I needed. Thank you.
But if we're going to pull it on Thursday, don't wedge it on Wednesday.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is
if you know you're going to have to.
Wait, yeah. Flipping it next week.
Yep.
Or removing the UMT.
Yeah.
Now, if we can just keep Tom on the phone long enough so that he can't be typing. Good
yeah, good luck on that.
Oh, you're already tired. You're going out to the Dalles tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, there you go.
We'll tie his hands.
Yeah. There's no phone.
I have a beer. Be nice to him.
Okay.
Take a lot of love.
And we'll work with the project to get the money to them if needed.
Yeah.
And we'll try to find a crane in one of the three sources if possible.
Okay.
And Ben will check with the project on their availability and get back to us.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Very good.
Matt.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Okay.